All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of The Realist Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. Of course, my website is therealistreport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of these podcasts, as well as other programs I've participated in. You will also find all of my blog posts and articles, a contact page, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, and many other useful and important links. I am a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to the Barnes Review, the bi-monthly revisionist history magazine. Please do subscribe to these fine print publications if you do not already. Check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org for all the details. All right, with that said, let me introduce our special guest. Adam Green of NoMoreNews.org is joining us once again. Adam, welcome back to the program, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, John. It's good to be here.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. There's a lot going on, obviously, a lot to discuss and address, so let's kind of jump right into this. You've had some really good videos lately over on NoMoreNews.org, and of course that is No with the K, K-N-O-W, morenews.org. You're also on BitChute, where I believe pretty much your entire archive, or at least most of it, is up. So that's really where I kind of stay up to speed with your work, is your actual website, your BitChute channel, and then, of course, you're also on Twitter, and I'll have a link to your Twitter profile when I post the program as well, so I'd encourage people to follow you there. But really, I want to start with this whole censorship campaign in the wake of the Trump rally and the subsequent protest at the U.S. Capitol last week. I mean, it's really kind of incredible what's going on. You know, many of us have been censored, some for years now, but really social media, the political establishment, and even employers are now targeting just Trump supporters who attended this rally specifically, and even just conservative, you know, sort of right-leaning American patriots more generally, in a way that I don't think we've seen before. There have been some pretty incredible headlines I've read recently. The political director of ABC News was openly talking about cleansing America of Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. I saw that over at the Gateway Pundit. I think the story actually just broke today. PBS's lawyer, one of their lawyers, was exposed by Project Veritas. The lawyer was basically suggesting that children of Trump supporters be sent to re-education camps. And we've heard this sort of rhetoric, you know, for a number of years now, but it's you know, really kind of unprecedented. And I think the amount of it that we see now, you know, of course, Trump himself has been banned from Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. He was censored on YouTube. I just read that he actually has been shut down on YouTube for the next week, which probably will continue if, you know, given everything else that's happened. He's been censored even on the, like, official White House accounts on Twitter. And I know Twitter, I don't know about Facebook, but I wouldn't be surprised if Facebook as well. And now, I mean, all these, you know, big corporations, these big corporate CEOs and business leaders are denouncing Trump and cutting off business ties with him. New York City just announced today, I think, that they will end all contracts with the Trump organization. And the PGA Tour did that as well just last week. And then Stripe recently announced that it won't even process payments for the Trump campaign. I don't know if he uses PayPal, but I know Stripe is a big, you know, online payment processing platform similar to PayPal that I'm pretty sure you've been banned from that. I know I have. Same thing with PayPal. So, you know, Twitter's been purging accounts left and right. DLive has even been, you know, suspending and kicking people off its platform, which is really kind of, you know, a very legitimate alternative to YouTube, especially for live streaming. But, you know, even people on DLive are getting kicked off. Nick Fuentes, Baked Alaska, Vince James recently, Ethan Ralph recently. And there's probably going to be more that I don't even know about. And there's certainly going to be more in the future. Are you still on DLive? Have you had any issues that I'm not aware of?
I'm still on there. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be under the same type of targeting as they are, because I'm not pro-Trump, and I didn't go to these or endorse these Stop the Steal rallies. I've been very opposed to Trump because it's funny. Yeah, they really used him up for all he's worth, used him as the whipping doll to rile up hatred for for white America, basically. And then now Trump drove it off a cliff. He's disavowing all his followers after he told them to go and be wild at the White House or at the Capitol. And
yeah,
QAnon was a trap, was a total Zionist psyop, possibly with this being the plan all along, to give the ADL the pretext to come after so-called anti-Semitic QAnon.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, it's for them to push the new anti-Semitism definition and to have hate speech laws and domestic terrorism legislation.
Well, that's certainly what we're seeing in the aftermath of all this. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's incredible. And we saw this in the aftermath of Charlottesville and, you know, other events in the past. But now it's on a whole new level, a whole new scale, because the president of the United States himself is directly involved in all this. I think you can make an argument complicit in all of this. And I mean, that really is the big question. I mean, was he complicit in this, you know, sort of setting this situation up to be used to justify and push the censorship and crackdown agenda that you just referred to? Or did he maybe walk into a trap? I frankly don't think it matters at this point, because it is what it is. And the media got just what they needed to, you know, promote all this stuff. And you got to remember, I mean, and you even mentioned it, Trump specifically called for this rally. He encouraged millions of people that support him to come to D.C. for this rally that took place just last Wednesday. And he explicitly vowed that it would be wild. And he even told him during the speech that he gave that we were going to be marching to Capitol Hill and he was going to be joining them. So, I mean, you know, he basically encouraged these people to march
and
down to the Capitol. So.
He encouraged and refused to denounce QAnon when he was asked many times, when he knew full and well what QAnon was. Also, Ali Alexander or Ali Akbar, who used to be funded or was funded by Robert Mercer and is a former member of the Council for National Policy, the Zionist evangelical group. He was working with Nick Fuentes. He was working with Alex Jones to organize these protests. Now he's on the run and still banned and still grifting for trying to raise money for private security. And QAnon, thanks to QAnon, Zionist PSYOP, thanks to Zionist-controlled opposition, Proud Boys, founded by Gavin McGinnis, who says he's a Zionist, that now they're coming after. They gave the ADL and Biden all the pretext they need to come after so-called anti-Semites. And it's amazing. With all of this going down, they're arguing. They're calling Schumer anti-Semitic. Trump supporters are calling Schumer anti-Semitic. I just saw a video of some Jews went to Dorsey's house of Twitter and were using a speakerphone to yell out Holocaust denial posts that are on Twitter. So both sides are arguing about who's more anti-Semitic and calling for more censorship of so-called anti-Semitism.
Wow, what a totally incredible, ridiculous clown world situation we find ourselves in.
And there was QAnon is Jewish, Proud Boys is Zionist, InfoWars is Zionist propaganda. Trump is Zionist. All of this, you know, Newsmax that promoted this is Zionist. Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell and Flynn, all these people are Zionist. And then, but what are we hearing nonstop after this so-called storm? The QAnon storm is coming. How is that not neurolinguistic program for this event so that the ADL can use it and crack down? And all we're hearing is white supremacists and Nazis and domestic terrorism, anti-Semites. On when it's completely orchestrated and organized, engineered by Jews.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some of them. Right. Yeah. I mean, the main buzzwords are insurrection, coup, riot. I mean, it's pretty incredible what they're doing. Well, you know, I guess first off, I didn't see exactly what happened all day. There's so many videos that have come out that it's kind of hard to really piece exactly what happened that day together. I've heard Alex Jones talk about it. I've read a number of firsthand accounts. You know, I've heard other people talk about it on different podcasts and stuff, people that were there. So it's really kind of, I think it's a pretty nuanced situation. I don't think you could say it was totally like controlled, but I think the way the media is portrayed it is, you know, falling right into their, that to me seems to be the big setup is, you know, they were in place to broadcast this event and to spin it in the way that they wanted to. So, I mean, what do you think that happened that day? I mean, do you think it was a total setup or something that maybe just got out of hand and just used and exploited by the media? Or what do you think? I mean, were you watching it like as it unfolded that day?
If you look at the rhetoric from all the people involved, they wanted it to get rowdy. They wanted it to be crazy. And it seems like there wasn't that. I've heard theories that that people involved with QAnon, like Ezra Cohen Watnick, who is General Flynn's assistant. Remember, General Flynn did the QAnon pledge once, and Douglas McGregor at the Pentagon, and also with Christopher Miller at the Pentagon, who was just put in, you know, like maybe a month ago after Trump lost the election. Did they stand down? Why was there not more security there? Why were they opening up the barricades and letting him in the door? You know, there was Jews there as well. It's been reported that there was Orthodox Jew Trump supporters chartered 8 buses to show up to this event. And some of them even made it inside. There was a young Orthodox Jewish man from New York who is a politically connected family. His dad is a Orthodox Jewish judge, and he was in there wearing fur coats. So they're taking all these photo ops of these QAnon guys in fur coats and this Jewish guy in a fur coat and saying, oh, it's white supremacist. And then, I mean, because you saw the two T-shirts, right? When this thing broke out, we saw these photos of the one guy with the long beard. His shirt said Camp Auschwitz. And then there's another guy that they of a photo where it said 6MNE. 6 million is not enough. So, first of all,
yeah, I did see. And of course, they're making a big deal about that. Obviously, that's one of the major talking points that they're using. Yeah,
one of the shirts, the 6 million is not enough, wasn't even there. They were using deception. That photo was taken over a year ago. I covered this yesterday. That was reported by Jewish mainstream media. They used that picture and he wasn't even there. So there was the one dude with the
camera.
So there's
like media fakery and even involved in this media, yes. Major media deception. Wow.
Yep. And then the other guy, I mean, what kind of retard thinks that, I mean, all of these people, they're going to storm the Capitol, and then what, the left is just going to listen and be like, okay, we admit we stole it. Or do they just think they were going to occupy it and do a Zog Emperor coup over the country? Either way, it was just set up for disaster. There was no plan. They accomplished nothing. There was no chance of them accomplishing anything. It just completely – nobody benefits more than incoming Biden administration and the ADL. And I don't think that's by accident.
Right. Yeah. And I want to get back to that, but I actually just found the article. This was from the Jewish Telegraph Agency that was published, I think, the day after the event, and it talks about this one Jew, Aaron Mostovsky was the guy's name, and he's a really bizarre looking guy. He was wearing this like crazy outfit, and of course, I mean, these are like the main people that the media is focusing on, but it turns out this guy was a Jew. It says here he was the son of a New York judge and former president of the National Council of Young Israel, an Orthodox synagogue association that has been outspokenly pro-Trump. He was among of course, they refer to him as rioters, who stormed the Capitol on Wednesday. Aaron Mostovsky, whose father is Kings County Supreme Court Judge Stephen Shlomo Mostovsky, entered the building wearing fur pellets and a rubber-proof vest and carrying a riot shield he said he found that day. And this is the guy, this guy that we're talking about here, this Mostovsky, he was photographed. I mean, talk about like perfect media, you know, photo op. He's photographed next to that Jake Angeli, the QAnon shaman.
Jacob
Angeli. Okay, they refer to him as Jake here. But yeah.
Yeah.
And he's known as
Jacob.
Okay, but he's the one known as the QAnon shaman or whatever.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, and he was the one that looked like a total spectacle in front of the media wearing this crazy outfit. And he was interviewed by Alex Jones, which is now like a viral clip where Jones is denouncing QAnon, which he's kind of lended credence to for a long time, I think you could argue.
He helped get it rolling early on. And once you get something like that moving, get the cult going, that's all you need is to get the ball rolling a little bit. And he was instrumental in that, promoting it. Alex Jones is being hailed right now as the anti-Q voice. Meanwhile, just 2 years ago, him and one of the his top guests and the guy that he hired, Jerome Corsi, who was a complete Zionist agent, no, like in a million different ways, no debating it, said Trump is military or QAnon is military intelligence. We know who QAnon is. QAnon is the White House told us to follow QAnon. QAnon is very at the Pentagon and very close to Trump, saying all this stuff. And then now he's pretending like he never believed it or that people are lying, saying that he promoted it. He's a total fraud. He's getting Jones is, you know, complete vindicated on people that said Jones was a Zionist agent. Like David Knight is on Twitter today. He just quit from InfoWars or got fired a couple weeks ago. He says Jones is a shill, a grifter, disinfo, all of this stuff he's saying now. And this guy worked for Jones for 10 years. He had his own show on InfoWars.
Yeah, I remember he got fired, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago now. But yeah, it's interesting, and I think you're right. I mean, I think Jones has definitely lended this whole idea, this whole notion of QAnon and this, you know, plot by these military intelligence insiders to take down the deep state. You know, despite there not ever being any real movement in that direction on any front. I mean, even today, you know, and of course, there's still people that buy into this and think that there's still hope and there's something's going to happen, you know, before next Wednesday. And I just saw this right when I got home before we went live here. Somebody tagged you in the tweet about how Trump just signed, what was it, the making the anti-Semitism envoy like an actual, like, what do you call it?
Ambassador level.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's like he just continues to do the Jews' bidding. I mean, it's incredible. Up until the last day in office.
Yeah. Oh, completely. Pompeo's is in the news, just broke. Pompeo saying that even after impeachment, and Trump just got impeached by the House, that Pompeo said Trump should win the Nobel Prize for the Israel Gulf peace. So literally they're bragging about their accomplishments for Israel. And look at what happened to the America First people in America. Screwed.
Yeah,
totally
exactly.
Epically screwed and destroyed and set up.
Oh,
set
yeah.
Set up and hung out to dry. Yeah.
And who is Trump pardoning lately? He's pardoning all these career Jewish criminals. You know, I mean, it's.
And hyping up, instigating war with Iran, they're trying to do.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Well, it's really an astonishing, incredible situation. And I think you're right. Ultimately, it does seem like this was set up and Trump may have played a role in it. But either way, his actions led directly to this situation. And it's just, I mean, the point you made, I mean, it's dumbfounding that here's Trump that was really the one kind of behind all this. And I think that ultimately, at the end of the day, it's going to be very difficult for him to operate politically or even at a business level once he's out of office. I mean, they really want to go after this guy and put him in jail, bankrupt him, you know, take all of his money. I think that will play out in the coming weeks and months and
years
ahead.
He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. It's all of his followers who are getting screwed that he did nothing for. All of these people that are getting banned from everywhere. Trump is still such a coward. He pretends to oppose censorship online, but will never call out the ADL or Jonathan Greenblatt. Neither will Tucker Carlson. And
no,
these
guys will never address the key people behind all of this.
And Trump, I've been saying this for 4 years, that they're using Trump as the villain to whip up all of this hatred for white Christian America, that with their agenda to destroy Edom and Amalek. This is part of their prophecy to make anti-Semitism illegal, which Trump pushed forward that agenda. And they're using deception to scapegoat Esau. This is the Jews, Jacob. Notice that at this big event, there's the two guys, the Jewish guy and the QAnon guy there, wearing fur skins. This is so similar to the Old Testament story of Jacob and Esau, the twins, where Jacob put on animal skin so his arms could be hairy like his brother Esau to trick his father. And they believe that Amalek is Europeans, is the people that oppose the Zionist agenda. They're biblical arch nemesis. And they believe that they should fight Amalek secretly and with deception. Like the Zohar says, wage war by deception. This is a total scapegoating setup, orchestrated by the Zionist, that's going to benefit the Zionist 100%.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be the case. And you know, of course, the coordinated media campaign, just like with anything, with coronavirus, with any major event, these people are all on the same exact page. We saw all of the Republicans basically get on the same page. And what was interesting is this event, I mean, you're right, there were, and you mentioned this earlier, after Trump's speech, where he, you know, of course, encouraged them to march down to the Capitol, there was really no organization, there was no leadership really in it. And again, I don't know, I think it was sort of nuanced. I mean, I think there were probably more than not, you know, most of these people that were there were actually well-meaning, you know, Trump, you know, supporting American patriots. They maybe
QAnon
misguided.
dupes. This
Now
girl
you
that
think,
went and died and
yeah.
tried to, with the mob, tried to break windows and jump through a window when everybody's saying, "There's a gun, there's a gun." The guy's pointing the gun at her. She literally sacrificed her life because QAnon brainwashing. And these QAnon
Yeah, that's
people,
true.
something is incredibly fishy with the whole QAnon situation. You go on BitChute every day, all the top trending videos, it looks like it's astroturfed, propped up by bots to create like a false consensus of herd mentality. This is what's popular, and to put it in front of people's eyes by making it top trending and letting them go viral. It's, dude, dark to light. Dark to light is Kabbalah. The whole messianic idea, it's like a cult with this coded, you know, prophecy predictions, total framework, 100%. And the people that have been pushing it and are still pushing it, even though Trump's conceding and he's getting impeached, there, Steve Pachenik was on InfoWars today guaranteeing that Biden and everybody's going to be arrested. Mind you, he said this 2 months ago, right after the election. He said that there's a sting operation, the arrests are about to start. And today he goes, oh, he was just being optimistic. That's what he thought was going to happen. Complete fraud. This guy, Steve Pachenik, psychological operations, hardcore Zionist disinfo agent related to the Ramban Maimonides, brags about being connected to mega Zionist terrorists, Menachem Begin from the Irgun and Likud party and Jabotinsky. And he literally says on InfoWars today, like, I chose you, I used you the last 20 years to put out my, basically his Zionist psyops and his propaganda. And he's all for Kushner. He says, oh, a Kushner president, that would be great. He's Steve Pachenik has been on Twitter sharing all of these QAnon accounts nonstop. The worst, like praying medic, this Christian QAnon guy who says he has these dreams and these visions and stuff from QAnon. It's completely insane, dude.
Yeah, it sure seems like it. I mean, these people are so delusional. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Pachenik, he was the same guy that was on Alex Jones claiming that the Department of Homeland Security had secret like watermarks on all the ballots that went out, and that was going to like overturn. He was the same guy saying that, right?
Yep. And then now he basically walked that back today. And mind
yeah, man,
you,
these
he
guys
demanded
just
that David Knight be fired over that, and then Jones fired him. But also, I think David Knight was so repulsed with all the shilling Jones was doing that he wanted to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you're definitely onto something with this QAnon thing. It seems to be exactly that's the end result anyways. Basically, your narrative is exactly what we see playing out, and it, you know, a lot of it adds up. I do think that there were a lot of, you know, decent people involved in this though. And of course, as you mentioned, these are the ones that are going to suffer the consequences for this. And I think
maybe
it's totally
some decent
unfair.
Dumb people. And also some people that didn't really believe it, but it made them a lot of money. A lot of money was made off of Q, and Q is going to be responsible for all of us to suffer the repercussions because of stupid Q.
Now,
believing that Trump is some messiah that's going to defeat the darkness, like he's controlled by Adelson, AIPAC, Netanyahu, Kushner. I mean, this idea that like Trump is some kind of like white supremacist, neo-Nazi, KKK, anti-Semite leader. I mean, give me a break. This guy that shows up with the Camp Auschwitz shirt at the thing, he really wants to go storm the Capitol for Trump. For Trump, who gives the keys to the country to Netanyahu, who pushes executive orders where you can't criticize Israel, who is a complete shill for Israel, like you know, no debate about it. You're telling me the anti-Semites love this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't believe it.
And the same guy that's, you know, basically presided over the total destruction of the country at the hands of Black Lives Matter and Antifa hasn't gone after these people. That, to me, is the most black-pilling aspect of all of this, is seeing our country just be overrun by these total criminals. You know, we had the
If everybody was black-pilled instead of drinking the Kool-Aid, the Q disinfo, and believing that, and going into the two-party Zionist dichotomy, it's maybe we would, you know, if all of this energy that people protesting all over the country for Trump and worshiping Trump, if we took that energy and focused it towards like the ADL, who's behind all the censorship, or, you know, something like that. Why has that never happened? How's the ADL not been protested once? How is it not obvious that they're the ones that are behind pushing for all of the censorship?
Well, because most people are totally brainwashed by Jewish propaganda and don't even recognize what is going on. Not only that, I mean, the ADL and other powerful Jewish organizations have made it almost impossible to be openly exposing them and you know, resisting what they're doing and telling people about it. You know, I mean, think about it. People don't want to get fired from their job. They don't want to go down this rabbit hole because it's associated with so many weaponized aspects of our history, false and highly weaponized aspects of our history, namely World War II. You know, I mean, they've weaponized our discourse, this word anti-Semitism and racist and white supremacist. I mean, these people have totally taken control of our political discourse and in our minds and our reality, our perception of reality. And until we can, you know, kind of break out of that, you know, we're going to be stuck in this same Jewish-controlled system, you know. And you're right. I mean, it is that both parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, are both involved in this, both controlled by the same exact Jewish elites.
It is. And you know, maybe it's probably not one monolithic group. There's egos and there's factions that are fighting. But I think, and you know, maybe people are being controlled and played like pawns and they don't even know the full picture. You know, people only are told the conspiracy on a need to know basis. But there's open conspiracies as well. I mean, like, you know, they say it's an anti-Semitic trope for you to talk about like the collectivity of Jews or like, you know, international Jews. How many international Jewish groups are there? Like they're meeting up in Israel saying like my common destiny, you know, their destiny. They're the biggest supremacists in the history of the planet, basically. And just everything about them. It's all I ever research and talk about. It is such a phenomenon, really, just Jews in general. They even talk about it. They brag about this. They think we're obviously chosen. Look, like the rabbis, the clips of the rabbis saying this stuff. It's just,
well,
this
last week
especially. This is like the new 9/11, the Charlottesville 9/11. This is how they're branding it and associating it with everywhere in the media too. New Patriot Act here, anti-Semitism definition. It's all coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Charlottesville, I wanted to bring that up because I read an article published just today. Actually, it was published yesterday. I read it this morning from the Jewish Telegraph Agency. You can tell where I get most of my news. It's from explicitly Jewish news outlets. And this is an op-ed published by Roberta Kaplan, Karen Dunn, and Amy Spitalnik. And all three of these women are involved in that. I think it's the, what's the official name of the organization? Integrity First for America. It's like this quote-unquote civil rights nonprofit organization that's, you know, engaged in lawfare against pretty much anybody that attended the Charlottesville rally a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And they write this op-ed here. The Capitol mob followed the same violent playbook as the Charlottesville rioters. We have to hold them all accountable. And we know how they've...
rioters.
Right. I mean, they have totally inverted reality. Even going back to Charlottesville, I mean, everything was basically instigated by the left-wing Antifa mobs and the police department, the law enforcement that were there on the ground that day. They basically forced this situation, and the people that were actually going to the event, which was you know, despite whatever you think about the organizers or the personalities involved, at the end of the day, the rally was basically designed to support free speech and to stand up for historic American monuments. That's what it was at the end of the day. And to talk about the assault on our history, our culture, you know, our demographics, all very legitimate topics that should be openly talked about. And yet, you know, the whole entire local political establishment, the state establishment, the national establishment, they all wanted to shut this down. And they set up a situation to basically create a justification for declaring a state of emergency, right? I mean, that's exactly what that Heafy report said, which was like an independent analysis of what happened in Charlottesville. And I mean, this is old news. People listening are well aware of, you know, what really happened in Charlottesville. And it's probably the same thing, I would argue, with what happened at the Capitol. I mean, for pretty much all the videos that I've seen, I mean, I did not see very much violence at all. I certainly didn't see any looting or any pillaging or any destruction or anything like that. It does seem to be some videos that have come out of people, you know, like violently like confronting the Capitol police that were there, which, I mean, I don't know why they would, you
beating
know, it just
them
makes no
death.
Sense. Yeah, see,
pushing
I don't know.
Them
I mean,
to death, beating them to death.
See, I don't know who the hell would be doing that and how they could think that that would be a good idea. I mean, even going into
people
the building,
that are watching QAnon videos every day thinking that they're fighting the satanic deep state with the white hats, like they're seriously brainwashed, delusional people that have been the QAnon people out there that aren't sincere believers and are either paid agents or just knowing opportunistic grifters that rode the Q train, like. They seriously have blood on their hands, and they should be ashamed. And when nothing happens in a few days, that they should be laughed off the internet and discredited forever for pushing this nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. In my opinion, it's very, very irresponsible to be saying a lot of these things, especially when there's when nothing has ever materialized, as far as I know, anyways. I mean, all of these predictions and ideas and theories and, oh, it's just around the corner. Nothing has ever materialized from the Q crowd, ever.
And all the people that push it are like, you know, just in general, not overall like good researchers or good people, honest people. It's shady characters that are pushing it, in my opinion. Some have good intentions and are legit and just have fallen for it for the hype, because it is a sophisticated psychological operation for sure.
Yeah, I do know that. I mean, I mentioned this in previous podcasts we've done. I mean, really, the main person that I've been following regarding QAnon is Mike King, and I've always found him to be a very serious and you know, insightful researcher. He's written a ton of books. He's got a good take on pretty much every issue. I mean, except for maybe this is where I would disagree with him, because he did put a lot of credence into QAnon, and I mean, he seems like an honest enough guy. He made a video recently where he was saying he would, you know, come clean and put egg on his head, you know, crack an egg over his head if none of this really panned out the way Q has said it would. And it seems like he's going to have to be making that video pretty soon. But what's interesting is not only have none of the predictions that Q has put out there come to pass, but it's almost like the opposite of what they say would happen has happened. And that's most obviously on display with, again, Trump's own supporters being targeted and prosecuted. I mean, did you hear, like, there's some clips going around. Lindsey Graham in the aftermath, and these people are so effing despicable. All these people in Congress. And that's why I sympathize with the sentiment of a lot of these people that were involved in this. It is time to get fed up with these people. These people are disgusting. They're despicable. They're total traitors.
Then why were
sellouts.
They trusting the plan and worshiping the president? They're worshiping the president. That's not being fed up with the system. That's blindly following your Zionist appointed pawn.
Okay, well, I get what you're saying, but I mean, really, I think people, it's a nuanced thing, really. I mean, it's hard to say. There was probably over a million people involved in this. I don't think every single person was like a brainwashed QAnon supporting idiot. I think there was a lot of people that are just fed up with the system in general. What do you think about the election? I mean, do you think that Trump legitimately lost the election?
That's a good question. I think both sides would try to cheat, and I think that either way, like the candidates are pre-selected and vetted. That they're both. I mean, Biden's and Kamala Harris are both extreme hardcore Zionists, and actually, in ways, I almost fear a Biden and Kamala. In fact, I do fear their administration more. But I think they're just bouncing us back and forth between the communist Zionist dialectic, and they're playing out like a, I mean, Trump is a reality star involved with Don King boxing matches, WWF theatrics, and then, you know, it just the way that everything that panned out and everything, he just gave everything to Israel for 4 years and then just left America first, you know, the idea of America first and real patriotism and people, anybody willing to stand up against Zionist power, and just we got completely wrecked, destroyed.
Right. I think your idea that and whether or not Trump was directly complicit in this or not, it really doesn't matter. This is ultimately what happened. They totally used Trump to just demonize average patriotic Americans, especially, you know, white Americans, that which is the vast majority of his supporters. They totally have used him to, you know, instill hatred in traditional white America, to demonize us, call us white supremacists and conspiracy theorists and racists, etc. And again, whether or not Trump was directly involved in this plot or not, it doesn't matter. That's ultimately what has happened. But
they
so
exaggerate
getting back
everything.
To
it, like yeah. Trump, they call Trump anti-Semitic. I mean, give me a break. That's like the most, you know, not an oxymoron, but it's complete inversion, Trump being anti-Semitic. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I completely agree with you. But getting back to the election, because, I mean, I think this is what generated all this hostility is, to me, I mean, it seemed pretty clear that the election, there was some sort of obvious irregularities involved. And just, I just can't take anything that the media and the political establishment is saying at face value anyways. But the idea that they're saying that Joe Biden got 80 million votes, Trump got 74, close to 75 million, I mean, just that alone is just on its face insulting, frankly. Trump had.
What if it was supposed to look like it was rigged? What if the purpose was it was they got everything that they needed out of Trump, Israel got enough power, and now they're ready to flip up the switch, change the puppet, unleash the party that just has all of this hatred and wants retribution and wants to put us on list and re-education camps, and then, you know, put them on us.
Yeah,
let
well,
them carry
that's,
it out. Let the communists destroy the country.
That may very be may very be part of the plan, or that may be exactly what's happening.
What if it was supposed to look like it was rigged, so that QAnon can say it's rigged, and for the storm to happen, and for Trump to Trump's people to organize all of these Stop the Steal marches? You know, they blew a shofar when they raided the Capitol. They blew the Jewish shofar.
Wow! No, I did not know that. Actually,
Jericho,
that's incredible.
March with all these Zionists. It's just.
Well, I guess what I was getting at.
I did think that they wanted another 4 years of Trump so that they could like have him, you know, try to rebuild the temple and start war with Iran and all that stuff. But, you know, maybe, you know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I tend to think that for whatever reason, there is a very real deep-seated hostility towards Trump by, you know, certainly among the Democrats and more, you know, left-wing progressive types in America, just for everything that he represents, everything that he ostensibly stands for, which, of course, we know doesn't really amount to much. He's been a total failure and pretty much a sellout this entire time. But I do think that there was some very real hatred and just total hostility towards him as a person and what he represented. Yeah. But my point was with the whole election. I mean, Trump supporters, and of course, America has been so polarized. You either love Trump or you hate him. There's really no middle ground. No people actually like objectively analyzing what's going on, except for, you know, people like us on the internet. But most people either totally supported him or totally hated him, right? At least that's my perception, and I think there's a lot of public polling that would demonstrate that. So you have all these people that view what happened, and of course Trump is whipping this up, and all these other Stop the Steal people are whipping this up. You know, there's a whole media empire that has been built up around Trump, from people on social media to having their own websites and YouTube channels and whatnot, that are whipping up all this hysteria. And a lot of it, in many cases, they're making a lot of good points about the irregularities and the potential voter fraud. And so people are seeing their country being stolen from them in such a blatant, obvious, in-your-face, insulting way. And, you know, I think that that kind of boiled over with what happened on Wednesday. So, I mean, I sympathize with that sentiment, because what is going on is unacceptable and is totally out of control. I don't think storming the Capitol was a very productive way to change anything, or to even, you know, try to rectify what happened with the election. Think about it. This is what's so fishy about this whole situation, is that right when these people started storming the Capitol is right when all these Republican House members were going to start objecting to the electoral certification. And then, of course, what happens is they have a, you know, there's like an emergency. Everybody, there's all these photo ops of these total spineless cuck, you know, Congress people going down. I think they all went to the Capitol basement, and there's all these super gay and fake photos of them coming out, you know, acting like they're scared. And a lot of them probably were actually genuinely scared. But, you know, of course, this whole protest and quote unquote siege of the Capitol interrupts this whole process. They, you know, clear the Capitol, they reconvene. And what happens? Everybody that was, not everybody, but a lot of these people that were going to object to the electoral certification, they all say, oh, no, we're not going to object anymore. I can't do it in good conscience. Joe Biden's president. So again, I mean, how obvious does this have to be that this was set up to make this happen?
Well, look at all the people that were involved with the whole Stop the Steal thing. It was Lynn Wood, Sidney Powell, General Flynn, Alex Jones. All of these people promoted QAnon. All these people pushed QAnon. You don't find that suspicious at all? They allowed
QAnon absolutely
stuff for hold on. They allowed QAnon stuff for years to go super viral. Probably astroturfed it and promoted it with bots. I wouldn't doubt it for a second. And then right before the election, they banned some people. That creates huge media hype. And then now that the job is done, Twitter banned 70,000 QAnon people, and all the top people pushing Q are all banned. They're trying to push somebody over the edge and make somebody snap by doing this, so that they can use it to their advantage even more. I think they have more planned. And the idea that there was going to be some type of crazy psyops to go down at the election, you know, Whitney Webb and I were talking about this like at the beginning of the year, that there's going to be complete chaos and Trump might be the last president, or, you know, crazy stuff is going to go down. I really do think QAnon was psychological operation to as a setup, not just disinfo to get people to worship Trump instead of exposing that he's a Zionist controlled asset, but to as a honey trap to set them up for this type of thing and use them as the controlled opposition.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's a very good take, and you might be right. I mean, again, that's basically what has been playing out. I mean, they're getting everything, the optics of the event and just the media coverage of it, and of course the political reaction to it, is exactly what groups like the ADL and the Democrats and the deep state want. And again, you're probably right. It certainly looks like that way anyways. And there have been recent reports about, you know, the FBI is out there warning about, you know, potential planned, you know, armed protests in all 50 U.S. state capitals and in D.C. So, yeah, I mean, I could see them. And that would be their ultimate, you know, wet dream would be to have some, you know, lunatic go out there and actually really engage in some sort of violence, like actual real violence, not like a you know, set up media created act of terrorism, where in many cases it's just, you know, a totally fake scripted event, or, you know, the FBI is involved in setting up the event to happen. They want like a genuine person to go out there and do something crazy to further crack down on everything.
Totally. I was just thinking about that as well. I was about to bring that up, that they can't wait for something else to happen and that they're warning that something's going to happen. That's why they have all this military around Washington right now. And they're saying, oh, there's stuff's being organized on Telegram and Gab and we have to shut it all down. And they're planning something. There's also reports of, like, you know, guns and bombs and stuff found on January 6th as well.
Yeah, yeah. At the I think the Republican and Democrat national headquarters in D.C., there was reports of pipe bombs. I'm not sure if that's actually, you know, legitimate, if that legitimately did happen.
Right. Another name, too, that was involved with Trump and Stop the Steal, Giuliani. Mr. 9/11, right, yeah. Mr. 9/11 Chabad Lubavitch Giuliani. So not really the best cast of characters to be, you know, make me convinced that there really was, you know, something going on. I think that's just the narrative, the script that's been written for this hatred of Trump and what he supposedly represents to destroy the idea of MAGA, basically, is what it is. And now they're gonna destroy it forever. Now when they bring Kamala and Biden in, they're gonna, you know, open borders, have lots of welfare, push LGBTQ, push diversity craziness, anti-white, you know, indoctrination. It's gonna be they want to destroy Amalek and Edom. So like this is their prophecies playing out. And if you think Trump wouldn't set up his people, why did he appoint Chad Wolf to the head of DHS, who declared white supremacy the biggest threat in the country?
I think every single year that he's been in office, the FBI has released the same exact report saying that quote-unquote white supremacists pose the greatest threat to the homeland. I totally agree. And you're right about the Biden administration and the Democrats generally just being explicitly anti-white. There was that video that went viral on Twitter a few days ago where Biden saying our priority will be Black, Latino, Asian, and Native American-owned small businesses, women-owned businesses, and finally having equal access to resources needed to reopen and rebuild. So they're going to use the whole Great Reset to systematically discriminate against white people openly and explicitly.
100%. I agree.
So, yeah, it's interesting. Well, and then, you know, I mentioned Lindsey Graham and what he was saying after all this. You know, he's saying, look, we're gonna set aside however much money the Justice Department needs to bring to justice and arrest and prosecute every single person that stepped foot in the Capitol. Biden was, you know, calling the Capitol protesters thugs, insurrectionists, and anti-Semites who should be prosecuted. You know, so it's basically across the political spectrum. Everybody is denouncing what happened at the Capitol. And again, you know, Trump, I think, and a lot of these. Yeah, there's no other way that this could have. There's no other way to explain and to really, like, objectively analyze what happened unless you see Trump is playing, like, the key role in all of this.
Well, oh, definitely he plays a key role, but that's not to, like I said, they only tell Trump what he needs to know. So he might not be in on every single thing. Like he might have not even known, you know, he could be getting thrown under the bus right now. You know, it's always a thing we hear, you know, like the sellouts, the snitches and stuff in the Soviet Union, like they're the ones that get taken out too. The rats always get dumped and screwed over. So
sure,
maybe
yeah.
Trump's just being disposed of after they used him up.
Yeah, well, I think they are going to try to ruin this guy. You might be right that they'll let him get off like they do most of these
other former presidents. Imagine his tarnished legacy now. The Trump legacy did everything for Israel and led an insurrection of white supremacists at the Capitol. That'll be the historic narrative. The narrative for Trump going through history will be he was a white supremacist, neo-Nazi, KKK warlord that was anti-Semitic. And completely racist. And that's how history is going to be written about Trump. That's how we see the news cover him every day. So that's what the history is going to say. And then we know the truth. He was controlled by Adelson, APEC, Kushner, and the Zionist mafia.
Right. And, you know, the saddest thing is the potential that he had that so many people viewed him as having, you know, when he first stepped foot on the political scene. And now it's almost fitting that, you know, he's going out having presided over, as I mentioned, you know, the BLM riots, the Antifa riots, who his own Justice Department has failed to prosecute and hold these people to account. I mean, think about it. These people are apoplectic at what happened at the Capitol, which was relatively tame and I mean, certainly nowhere comparable to what happened in cities like, you know, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, New York City. I mean, pretty much every major city was ransacked and looted and destroyed at some point over the course of the past year, all based on totally media-created situations or media-spun situations. You know, go back and think about what happened with George Floyd. Here's a total degenerate criminal that was high as a kite on drugs, on very lethal and potentially fatal drugs, and he basically overdosed and died. And we're destroying the country over this total thug. Trump's not saying anything about it. The political establishment is justifying this. Our police departments across the country are taking a knee to these criminals. Meanwhile, all these guys are up in arms and saying that we're going to dedicate however much money is needed to the Justice Department, and we're going to hire more prosecutors, and we're going to, you know, Lindsey Graham's out there. I'm going to hold these people to account and ask every single Department of Justice for an update on, you know, who do we need to arrest next? I mean, come on, we got to get all these people and throw them in prison. So it's just an insult, man. It's just a total disgrace. And it's fitting that he's going out of office, having presided over all this, having presided over this whole fake COVID scamdemic, you know, which is ushering in this great reset. You know, he's been the leading proponent of vaccines and, you know, giving billions of dollars to these already, you know, billionaire companies to develop these totally dangerous and unnecessary vaccines.
$500 million to Israel with the COVID relief bill.
Yeah, man, it's just incredible. And now,
pardoning
on
of
his,
all the
on
Zionist
last,
criminals.
Yeah, exactly. Like his last days in office, he's pardoning, you know, like career Jewish criminals. He's signing, you know, bills to make the anti-Semitism envoy an ambassador level position. And he's watching his own supporters get prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law by his own Justice Department. I mean, this guy is a total disgrace.
It's like, you know, everything I've been saying about Trump completely vindicated, except that I thought he was going to win another term. But like, you know, what he ended up doing, you know, obviously all the QAnon people just have been so wrong time and time again. They just keep doubling down. It's pure like psychological manipulation, I think. But yeah.
Well, it's
still
I think
they're saying that Biden's going to get arrested at the they're going to arrest all the deep state at Biden's inauguration. That's the theory that's going on right now.
Well, that seems to be very, very unlikely from where I sit. But it's really sort of to say the least.
It's
yeah.
kind of scary because it's like it's probably a Zionist like weird coup. Like, you know what I mean? Either way, yeah. It's scary.
Yeah, well, I mean, these people that go along with this, it's like a mix of like just delusion and wishful thinking, and the media describes like QAnon as almost like a cult, and I think that is actually a sort of a good way of looking at it. I mean, how 100%. Many, you know, like again, like we talked about, you know, how many of these predictions have ever panned out? None of them that I know of. And again, in fact, in many cases, it's been like the exact opposite of what they said is going to happen. You know, oh yeah, we're going to arrest all these, you know, deep state criminals and all the pedophiles and whatnot. Meanwhile, it's Trump's own supporters getting arrested by the federal government and by all these other local and state governments for participating in a rally, many of whom probably participated in very peacefully, and they're still being demonized. They're being fired from their jobs left and right. I mean, again, it's... How could you look at the situation objectively and not come to the conclusion that it was a total setup that's been used to justify this entire agenda that they've been pushing for so long, and now they have even more ammo to continue it?
Imagine the precedent in the Overton window changing right now, the chilling effect of American patriots wanting to go out and do protests now, knowing that all over the internet and the FBI and facial recognition, they'll be trying to hunt you down and get you doxxed and fired from your job and blacklisted from Airbnb and everything like that.
They'll put you on a no-fly list now. That's how bad it is.
No-fly list.
It's like you're literally a terrorist, yeah.
It's kind of like – it's interesting how Charlottesville kind of did a similar thing too, because they were there, I think, with the good motive of defending a historical statue. And now that that was such a disaster, and how many times did they use the images from Charlottesville and the clips and just cited and referenced Charlottesville to justify, oh, we need this because of Charlottesville. There are neo-Nazis marching in the streets. Think about how they're going to use this now. It's so much more juicy for the ADL, this latest event. Just, it's all so perfect for them. Playing out exactly as planned. All their Schwarzenegger is talking about the neo-Nazis, and it's...
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's a full-blown, full-court press by the media. They're all on the same page, basically, and that includes the Republicans and the Democrats. And, you know, one last thing I want to mention here, you know, of course, like the ADL, the SPLC, and a lot of these, you know, left-wing activist groups masquerading as, like, you know, research centers and experts and whatnot. I mean, these people are totally agenda-driven, and they're not independent. They're not unobjective at all. But these types of organizations have been pushing the idea, pushing the narrative that, you know, white supremacists and white nationalists should be viewed as not only a threat, but, like, the greatest threat facing the country, even more so than radical Islamic terrorism. They've kind of put the radical Islamic terrorism boogeyman to bed, at least to a large extent, and have now sort of flipped it and turned it against just the average white person. I mean, they basically consider anybody that's white that has, like, a racial consciousness, that understands they're white, or is even, you know, a critical objective thinker, to be like some sort of terrorist, some sort of conspiracy theorist, some sort of threat to the country. And they've been pushing this for a very long time. I mean, I remember going back to right in the aftermath of the alleged Charleston shooting. Do you remember that back in 2015? I think it was June 2015.
Charleston, dude at the church?
Yeah, Dylan Stormroof. Yeah. Now, that whole event, I frankly think, was a total psyop. I don't think that actually even happened in real life. At least I've seen no real evidence to prove that there was a shooting there and that this actually happened the way the media said. I think a lot of these events, you know, these high-profile mass casualty events are just total media deceptions. But that's beside the point. Even if this did really happen the way they said it did, the very next day, there was right on the pages of the New York Times an op-ed published by Richard Cohen, who used to lead the Southern Poverty Law Center, literally calling, basically saying that the United States policy should change, and is no longer going to be focused on Islamic radical terrorism. Now we need to focus on white supremacist terrorism. And we've seen that build up year after year after year. They've used one manufactured or even a real event, like in the case with Charlottesville. They've used every event, every statement, everything that they can get their hands on to perpetuate this. And it's culminated right now with this quote-unquote capital siege, which was, you know, again, really nothing more than an unorganized protest that got out of hand and perhaps was even, you know, again, set up to make this big media spectacle. So, yeah, it's really coming all to fruition.
The real threat and the real power really lies with Jewish supremacy, though. And, of course, there's going to be, you know, it's inevitable in a country of 300 plus million people, there's going to be some extremists. There's going to be some, you know, crazy people, lone nuts that snap. There's going to be communist extremists, right-wing extremists, you know, religious extremists that do crazy things. People are insane. There's so many mentally ill people out there that do insane things, you know. But the real threat is groups like the ADL, who are controlling all of free speech and defending the Zionist agenda and attacking everybody.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The real power? It's the Jewish supremacists, not white supremacists. The white supremacy narrative is completely driven by Jews, and it's a plan to destroy Edom and Amalek.
Yes, absolutely. Well said.
Get rid of their
competition. And we have to, We have to conclude this podcast with one. Actually, it's two separate articles, but it's basically the same topic. And that, and it's a topic, of course, you've been covering for since day one, really, with your you know, your video programs and your podcast and stuff. And it's a topic I've been covering from the very beginning as well. And that's the reality of Jewish power and influence in America at all levels of society, whether it's Hollywood or the media or banking or the government. And it's becoming increasingly more and more obvious. I've got an article right here that I just read this morning from, again, the Jewish Telegraph Agency. Here are the 37 Jewish members of Congress. And of course, this is after the most recent election. There's 37 Jews in the Congress. There's 10 in the Senate. And there's 37 total in the House. So, gosh, I'm sorry. I keep screwing this up. I screwed this up before we even went live. There's 37 Jewish members in the Congress. There's 10 in the Senate and 27 in the House of Representatives. I'm sorry. And this is a fascinating article. Go ahead and check it out. It literally lists every single Jew, the Democrats and the Republicans in both the House and the Senate. And I think it's something, if you do the math, it's like something like 6 or 7% of the United States Congress overall is Jewish, which is what, three times their overall population, at least according to official statistics. So we want to talk about white privilege. Look at this Jewish privilege right here. I mean, give me a break.
Well, you know, not only that, all the rest of everybody in Congress is completely bought and sold for, you know, isn't standing up to the ADL, isn't standing up to Israel. They're all, you know, completely kosher in Congress. So all of them, whether they're Jewish or not, and yeah, they're overrepresented in Congress. But, you know, to point out that their control over any societal institution is the official anti-Semitism definition. So they're trying to implement that everywhere right now, thanks to QAnon.
Yeah, isn't
people
it? Yeah, exactly.
The plan and is, trusting
isn't
Trump.
It amazing? Yeah, isn't it amazing? I mean, literally, like, pointing out basic facts about this stuff is considered anti-Semitism. When, again, you know, you could go on the Jewish Telegraph Agency or the Jewish Daily Forward, and they're posting articles highlighting it and sort of, you know, it's like a good thing, you know, because it's written, of course, for Jews. So, yeah, I mean, the just the gaslighting is just astonishing when it comes to anything dealing with Jews. I mean, they will literally invert reality.
The ADL is like having a heyday right now with all their articles and demanding everybody get censored. And then they'll literally like turn around and just be like, oh, it's a canard. It's a trope that we have any power over, you know, over free speech or anything like that.
Yeah, as they shut you down for saying they have power.
I mean, exactly. Yeah,
it's so ridiculous. Well, and also there's one last thing I want to get to here, and this is from the New York Magazine, and it's all of President-elect Joe Biden's cabinet nominees. And, I mean, this is like reading a bar mitzvah list. I mean, it's the Biden administration is going to be – and every presidential administration is full of Jews, of course. But, you know, it's really kind of incredible just looking at this list. Ron Klein, who's going to be the chief of staff. I know he's Jewish. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who, if I'm not mistaken, was also involved with the Federal Reserve at one point. Yeah, former Federal Reserve chairwoman, I guess. But she's going to be his Treasury Secretary, Attorney General Merrick Garland, he's Jewish, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, he's Jewish, John Kerry, Special Presidential Envoy for Climate, he's a crypto Jew, let's see who else here, and these are just ones that I know explicitly are Jewish, Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas, he's Jewish. Despite his, his Hispanic sounding first name, he is in fact Jewish. There's a few more, but you kind of get the drift of what I'm saying here. The Biden administration is going to be an incredibly Jewish administration. And we see the sorts of policies that the Democrats and frankly the Republicans promote, and none of them are good for America. None of them are good, certainly, for white people. In fact, they're designed to systematically displace white people and replace us with third world immigrants, you know? And I mean, that's exactly what's been going on for a number of years, a number of decades now. And again, this kind of just proves it all over again.
Yeah, and you know they write about this in the Jewish press, like all the Jews that Biden has in, and they'll say that it's anti-Semitic for us to talk about Jewish power, but like yesterday Sheldon Adelson died, and there was articles everywhere, the most influential political donor and fierce advocate for Israel. They admit the power. We saw all the groveling from Pence and Don Jr. and all the big Zionists out there. Sheldon Adelson,
oh, yeah.
who funded the Elon Carr, the anti-Semitism czar, who's pushing this new definition that you can't talk about their loyalty to Israel. You can't talk about them controlling things. It's just we're being suppressed and censored, and people are stupid and gullible, so we're just not getting the word out enough.
Well, I think too much. Yeah, well, and I think that's part of the problem too, is most people are just never going to get to where we're at with understanding these sorts of issues, and that's for a number of reasons, namely because what we're saying goes against almost everything they've ever been told by their teachers in Hollywood and the movies they watch and the stuff that they read, you know, by the government, by their own parents in many cases. So it is a huge intellectual and psychological burden to overcome. But again, I mean, I think if you just look at what's going on objectively, you'll have to come to these conclusions that, you know, our country, both political parties, the entire establishment, the media, of course, pretty much at this point, what isn't controlled by Jews? If not explicitly, like outright by Jews, I mean, totally under their control and influence, just, you know, through osmosis at this point, really. It's not a stretch to say that our country is entirely controlled by Jews in every meaningful way.
I think a lot of it has to do with, thanks to Christianity, Christian Zionism, and all of the Gentiles supporting, you know, believing that they're God's chosen people and that he's got, you know, plans of prophecy with them and stuff. I think that's what drives so much of it. That and obviously
yeah,
the
no
media
doubt.
Control.
Yeah, yep, and the
Hollywood
the
control
over our historical narrative. I mean, especially of course relating to World War II, but even other aspects. I mean, like literally everything has been weaponized against white people specifically. So, and that, you know, of course we could go on and on about that, but
just imagine how much worse it's going to get in the next, you know, this next 4 to 8 years of Biden and Kamala Harris.
Yep. Well, I hope if there's any silver lining of any of this, I hope it's that more and more people recognize this and sort of wake up and see what's happened with Trump, see what's happened with his administration, and realize really what's going on and continue down the rabbit hole of knowledge and information and come to a site like yours or a site like mine and really start connecting the dots. And, you know, I mean, I think that we have made a lot of progress, but there's still a lot more to go, no doubt about that.
So. Progress. I was reaching, you know, 2 years ago I was reaching 100,000 people. Now I'm reaching like 10,000 people on a video. So I wouldn't call that progress. I'm getting banned everywhere, suppressed more and more. I just lost 1,000 followers on Twitter because of this crazy purge, and they're on the march still. They're still going to keep cracking down. It's only going to get worse, I think.
Yeah, that's.
I don't see light at the end of this tunnel unless people wake up fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, man, well said. I appreciate you taking the time, man. We'll go ahead and wrap up. We've been going here for a little over an hour now. So thanks a lot. Really good takes on what's going on. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, Adam, I'll talk to you soon, man.
Talking with you. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.